1, I want to say to the church, I love you. I love you from the depths of my heart because you've expressed love for me in so many wonderful ways. Because God has put that love in our hearts for one another. Faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. I stand before you. I received a phone call a few days ago, invited me to speak at a little church up in Rappahannock County, up next to the mountain. An elderly preacher who had come to me and said, Wayne, God's called you to preach, hasn't he? And I, in my youth especially, responded that I didn't know, but there were certain things that the Lord had been exercising me about, which I didn't know that it was God calling me to preach. And that old gentleman took me in his car and took me on his circuit of churches. And one of them is Thornton's Gap Regular Baptist Church. And he mentored me, not only from the pulpit, but he mentored me in the car. There are many things I remember that he taught me and spoke to me about, but his life spoke to me more than anything else. That he would love a 15-year-old boy. I not only want to say to the church, I love you, I want to say to the youth, I love you. We need to have compassion for our youth. And I want to, if they were here, I would want to say to the children, I love you too. And I hope that I've expressed that love to the children. The children need our love because they are exposed to a lot of hateful things. And in Psalm 71, the psalmist is praying. I won't go through the whole prayer, but I might call your attention to some verses out of that prayer. And in verse 7, I'm a wonder to many, the psalmist says, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with the praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age, and he hasn't, I can say. In the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Well, I can say that I'm experiencing that time of when my physical strength is failing. I guess we expect that when we're 90 years old. But it seems that the Lord's power and the Lord's love and the Lord's compassion is more meaningful when the physical body begins to deteriorate. And so the psalmist in the beginning in verse 15 says this, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. Well, I don't know the number thereof, but I know the number thereof is short. And yet I have preached many a youth's funeral. Young people, those maybe you're not a teenager, you're older than that, don't presume on your youth that you are going to live another decade. And as we have heard very clearly from our speakers, and I want to thank the speakers for their messages, we have heard very clearly that we cannot depend upon the flesh, but we must depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to guide our lives. And many times that is not what we do when we make some vital and important decisions in our lives. Yes, I'm with the psalmist. I know not the numbers thereof, but I do know the numbers are few. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. That's the only way to go, isn't it? When we begin to go, we have heard from our speakers in our own strength, we're inviting tragic things to enter into our experience. Hurtful things, not only to ourselves, but to others. Many times in our lives, we do not stop and think of how something is going to hurt us. And we end it there, but we don't think of how it's going to hurt others. As a pastor, I have seen individual people whose lives has brought great sorrow and heartache on other people. Sometimes those youth have grown to be adults themselves, and they have great remorse in their hearts for the damage that they have done to other lives because of the folly of their youth. And we need to stop and think concerning our conduct that we are living our lives that are going to impact many people. Little did I know, when I was a little 15-year-old boy being placed up in the pulpit, the old preacher having said to me, "Now, Wayne, you preach till you run out. Don't say that to me anymore." I'm short of breath, but I don't run out quite easily. But I would get up, I would open the scriptures, and in just a few minutes, I'm sure that I would turn the service over to Marvin Flynn, that old preacher. But regardless, notice what the psalmist says in the 16th verse. In the 15th, he says he doesn't know the number of his days. But in the 16th, he says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." You know, I can sort of feel the vibrations of what the psalmist was saying. He wasn't just suggesting it or throwing a statement out. He was making a statement, a commitment. I have a question tonight for us all. Have you determined to go forth in the strength of the Lord God? He goes on to say, "I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thee only. Are we zealous witnesses for Jesus Christ? Do we seek the opportunity of testimony? Do we seek opportunity to reach in our pocket and give out a gospel tract, the Word of God? I'll make a confession. There are times when I've gone out to the store and I fail to put my tracts in my pocket. The Holy Spirit convicted me of that. And I said, Wayne, you be careful, because that can become habitual. What do I mean by that? Well, if I don't do it today, I'll probably fail tomorrow. And if I don't do it those 2 days, pretty soon it will become the habit that you've had for many years of giving out the Word of God by the printed page. And so he says, I'll go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thee only. I think the word mention kind of sounds kind of weak in the English, but he is saying, I'm going to tell forth of your righteousness. Couldn't tell of his own righteousness. You can't tell of your righteousness. You can live the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your daily life, but our testimony ought always to be about the Lord Jesus Christ and not self. But watch out, that self will pop up. I've said often, the devil isn't my worst enemy. You know what my worst enemy is? Self. Self is my most subtle enemy. And it certainly can manifest itself in so many different ways. And I have to get before God and ask him to forgive me for not having him control myself instead of myself controlling myself. Oh God, verse 17, thou hast taught me from my youth. I was raised up in a little old frame church in Fairfax County, Virginia. Fairfax County wasn't Fairfax County like Fairfax County is Fairfax County now. It was a farming county. It was out in the country. There were homes who the fathers and grandfathers and my great-grandfathers were veterans of the Civil War. And there were people who had gone through terrible experiences as a result of war. War is a horrible thing. And beloved ones, we are living in a world of war. My father was wounded in World War I. That was the war to end all wars. At least that's what they said. And then just a few years later, the Second World War began, and I experienced 1 year in the I experienced 2 years in the Marine Corps, 1 year during World War II. I saw no combat, but I was saved by the atomic bomb. Some people shudder at the horror of that. That wasn't so horrible. It saved 1 million of our own soldiers' lives, and it saved 8 more million of the Japanese lives. But it was a horrible time, and United Nations was going to solve things. But I don't see them gaining very much ground. In fact, not any. In fact, those things that men are trying to reason through are digging a deeper hole than the world has ever known. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now, verse 18, also, not when I am old, now that I am old, and not gray-headed, but bald-headed. I have a few gray ones on side. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. One thing that I guess I should say, I shouldn't let it disturb me, is that people think because I'm 90 years old, I can't preach anymore. Now, I have certain limitations of travel, but I have 4 daughters and a son that will provide, you know, not long trips over to Japan or other place like that. Although I have brothers and sisters in Christ in Eastern Europe and Japan and down in South America that are very close to me. And they are my brothers and they are my sisters. And if I did go there, they would take me up into their homes. And we would, of course, rejoice together in what the Lord hath done. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Now, I didn't mean that he expected God might completely forsake him, but he said, I'm going to still be trusting you until I've showed strength in this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. The children, the youth. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, let us, you know, we have received some wonderful words of exhortation. And very strong, sometimes the fist being brought down and so on and so forth. Let us not leave and let those words that have been spoken, not only tonight, but I not only love you, I love your pastor. Pastors need to be loved. Pastors, with all of their deeds, by the grace of God, to the blessing of many, many members in this congregation and elsewhere, need the compassion of his congregation, and his congregation need to express their love for him. So may the Lord bless you as you depart tonight. And pray for my wife. She spent many hours at home with the children, and the family grew. It was not only two or three, but then I was over in the country of Laos in Southeast Asia, and I had no way of communicating with her in any way except by letter. And I went up to Vientiane, the capital of Laos, and I had the opportunity to get a telephone and call her. And I couldn't get through, so I called my father and mother because I knew I wasn't going to have opportunity to get a hold of a telephone again. And lo and behold, Mary was up at my father and mother's house. She was carrying Rebecca, our daughter. And when she hung the phone up, she went into labor. I don't know if it were the shock of the phone call or not, but that was when Rebecca was born. And I wasn't there. And before I left on that long missionary trip of 8 or 9 months, we bent down behind the old house, back of the barn, and we prayed to God. And when we had finished prayer, I said, "Mary, do you believe that I should go? Do you believe it's God's will? And are you willing for me to take this journey?" And she said, "I want you to do what God wants you to do." You know why I ask her that? Many a time as an evangelist, I'd be gone 2 and 3 weeks at a time, knowing the difficulties, even though my brother-in-law lived with us in our home there. And even though as I pulled out of the driveway and waved goodbye to my children, I knew she was carrying a greater burden than I could ever carry, being at home with the children. So, beloved ones, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone to come. And I say to that prayer, making it my prayer, amen. Thank you, Pastor.